There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Easy to get in touch with us. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. 251-343-0106. We'll get to some of those texts here in just a little bit. But without any ado, it's my buddy and yours, Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, man.
Hey. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. I want to... Yeah, I said to you during the news break, some of the stories we're going to talk about today are things with wheels, right? Like, hey, Alex, yes. I'll take things with wheels for $800.
Yes.
So the city of Mobile, our fair city, decided to let we the people come up with the name for the new name for the Wave Transit system?
That's right. That's right. And what do you think that we should do this one for? Should this be for $200 or for $400?
I'm going to take $400, Alex.
All right. All right.
So what happened?
This was back in, so it's April now, so back in March. Sorry, I've kind of lost track of time there for a little bit. Back in March, the city came up with a little contest to let the people of Mobile name the new public transit plan. And they had two options. One was MOGO, which is already being used for this kind of like a van taxi service, and then the other one was the Second Line Transit, which had like a Mardi Gras theme to it, some whimsy there, and they had a couple thousand people vote on it, and this week they said that it's going to be Second Line Transit.
But they didn't give us what I want to get to here. So a cautionary tale from the Bodie McBoatface thing that happened years ago, right? Where they open source it. Because they didn't give, people couldn't suggest their own. Like, they couldn't have gotten a crowdsourced Bussy McBusface.
Well, there were some murmurings about that, because I think when they wanted to rename the electric dump truck?
Yes.
The garbage truck, I think, was Trashy McTrashface for a little bit.
That's correct.
So I guess it's a new day in the city. We got a new mayor. I think they said, I think we ought to do this a little differently. I think we ought to give people some guided options to choose from. Now I had heard plenty of times Bussy McBusface, which that just doesn't quite roll off the tongue like Second Line Transit does.
Of course, I called it yesterday Second Inline Transit, but...
Second Inline, yeah. Hopefully there's not... Well, hopefully there is two lines to get on this thing because it's, in such demand and funded by our taxpayer dollars.
So where are we with that? Because there's the takeover, right? So VIA Company's taken over, even though for people to understand it, I guess you can go back through it, the city... contracts with the city is not running the bus service, it's contracting it, right.
It contracts with a management company that oversees all of the daily tasks and the bus routes and stuff like that. So it was last year, late last year, they decided to move on from the Wave and to contract with VIA, which is this, they got buses and taxis all over the country and the world. And the goal here was to come up with a brand new bus network, because currently the buses, you know, we've done plenty of stories on the numbers here. It seems that the buses are carrying more air from one part of the city to the other than they are people.
Right.
So the city came up with found a new company that is doing an overhaul of the system right now to kind of cut down on like the traditional buses that we've seen. Maybe put some smaller buses in that Spiro has called trolleys. You know, we're real big about the trolleys now. It's like it's 1910 all over. But that's the plan, is to come up with a new bus system that people are going to be pumped about getting on. And that's going to unveil in July. It's going to be called Second Line Transit. Full disclosure, as a resident and a taxpayer of Mobile, that's the one that I picked, you know, because it's got some whimsy to it.
Mm-hmm. You're big on the whimsy.
Man, I love some whimsy. God, because life is too short and too hard to not have a good time. You got to have some fun because life is short. So that's what's going to be coming in the summer. And hopefully this thing, I mean, we've not seen any, you know, hints of what's coming here. The city has been very guarded about that information. But there's definitely going to be some trolleys, some smaller buses are going to be the model for this thing going forward.
Well, I mean, I said to the mayor, like we first started talking about it when he was running for office, told him a couple times in interviews, I said, man, I wasn't following you. And then I did think about it, of just being frank, good to have a public transport system, but I'm not riding the bus. I'll ride a trolley. I won't ride a bus, but I'll ride a trolley. The difference, there's not, but it's in my brain. Like getting on the trolley, we're going to have fun. The bus is like, I got to get somewhere.
Yeah. Well, if you could take like a trolley from New Orleans, pull it off of the tracks and put it on wheels, that could be a snazzy way to get to your, plush broadcasting suite.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I'd arrive in a trolley. It'd be quite a look.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I said we'd stay with a tire theme for a couple of these stories. Bring me up to date, because this is not the first time the discussion of ambulance service in the city of Mobile has come up. And now your headline here, new ambulance rules draw ire. Who's ire?
From one of the ambulance companies here, Newman's. Basically, which you're right, this is not the first time we've talked about the ambulances, because late last year and then the early part of this year, there was a third company from Louisiana that wanted to come in and operate an ambulance service in the city. Ultimately, they were not, which the city council has to give permission for the ambulance services to come in. And that permission was not given to this third company. And throughout that time, the city had talked about, all right, we've got to make some changes to the ordinance that we have that sets the rules for the ambulance companies in the city, for Newman's and for Medevac. And so now we've finally gotten to the rule changes that they have proposed here. And these were a first read on Tuesday. They should be voted into effect this coming week. But Fire Chief Barry Glisson, whose department is kind of over the dealings with the ambulances in the city, said, we want to do two things. We want to require all of the ambulance companies to come in and have to get a certificate of necessity from the city council. And we want to make sure that they're all being fully transparent on, like, their data, their statistics of calls and stuff like that. Now, he also said there's nothing wrong with what we've got going on in the city right now, that basically 99% of the calls are being met. Folks are going to the hospital on time. It's a good time. But the people from Newman's did not like this proposal because for a long time, they've been grandfathered into the system and have not had to get the certificate of necessity that you would need to operate in the city. So that's the ire that's being drawn here. The longtime company says that these new rule changes would put their business at a disadvantage they'd have to go through this process.
Yeah, but then all would have the same disadvantage, right?
The fire chief says that, you know, this would be to level the playing field and make everybody have to go through the same standards. Yes.
Okay. And then the story that, by the way, I wish I would, well, I tried to actually over the weekend went to the Kalshi site to sign in that it wouldn't be to like double verify or something. And I was like, I don't have time for this. So I finally got them because I constantly say, you know what? I should get on with these prediction things because I said back in October, I said that Gamble's going to be found not guilty. I mean, I said on this radio show, I said that she could be, and looks like that's what happened yesterday.
That's right. That is correct. And I used to be on the Fairhope beat, and there were plenty of crazy and wacky stories that came out of that. The Haitians, the books in the library, all kinds of zany stories came out of that one. This one by my colleague Grant McLaughlin. Renee Gamble, who wore an inflatable penis suit to a No Kings protest, was found not guilty of a bunch of charges in the Fairhope Municipal Court. I'm trying to remember exactly what those charges were. Well,
Interesting part to me is like I remember looking at this. There's the kind of it was kind of a free speech municipal code question,
but then there framed
were
it, yeah.
yeah. But then there were the one thing that gave me some pause was the resisting arrest and giving a false name. Yeah. Those things to me, I said they probably have more traction on those than the. You know, all the focus was she was in the penis costume. I'm like, well, that may be defended under free speech, but you still can't resist arrest. And so those things gave me pause. The costume thing I thought wasn't gonna be it, but it looks like the judge said what?
Yeah, so she was facing up to 6 months in jail and a $500 fine, but the. After a long trial, Grant was in court for a long time, about three or four hours there, found her not guilty on all charges, and she's free to go. She's walking around free at this moment. Now, it's not clear if there's going to be another suit here filed against the city of Fairhope. That's not clear. There have been some hints. That might go forward. But she came out of the courthouse very pleased. She said, you know, we have in Fairhope, we have the same rights that we do in the rest of the country, and had a very big speech there. So she was thrilled, and it's another one in the wacky story file for the Fairhope beat.
Got that right. People want to read this story and all the others we're talking about, plus so much more online. How do they get signed up? And then we can talk about if they want to pick up the good old-fashioned paper.
Absolutely. Well, you can go pick up our paper in one of our beautiful purple boxes. They are all over Mobile and Baldwin counties. But that's not the only thing that you need to do. There's so much more news on the website. It's just so much I can't even find a word for it. LanyapMobile.com. We have a subscription menu. Choose the one that works best for you and get in the know. You got to be in the know because knowledge is power, folks. LanyapMobile.com.
That's true. And what a closure. Kyle, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. See you then.
All right. There he goes, Kyle Hamburg with Lanyap, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
925 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad you're here, and good time to check in with my man. I was at his shop last week, too, which was fun.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And heads up here, I mean, it should be biking season any time of year. But for a lot of people, they're like, oh, spring is sprung, and we'll get on the bike. Good old-fashioned bike shop, a good old, you hear what I said, Clint? A good old-fashioned friend of mine, Clint Jameson, runs Adventurers Bicycles right there at Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris. And when I say a good old-fashioned bike shop, when you buy a bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, you're not getting a box of parts. Like, and, well, the kids might be on spring break. But listen, Santas out there that have been putting together a bike maybe at 11 o'clock at night on a Christmas Eve, and there's not enough parts, or there's too many parts, or the hands are bleeding, or you understand this. Or you're somebody that gets goes online and orders a bike, and it shows up not with all the parts you're supposed to have, or this piece doesn't work, or in the world of e-bikes that I love, it doesn't charge, the battery doesn't hold charge, it doesn't work. All those problems you have when you don't have somebody to go to. When you buy a bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, whether it's like he calls them, Clint calls them the Amish bikes, the non-electric bikes, or the e-bikes, they're all fully assembled and tuned when you get them. So all you got to go do is have fun on the bicycle. And you can bring them in for service quarterly. He's going to do all the tuning on them. And if you want accessories, oh, Lord, does he have accessories for those bikes. All on premise, right there at Adventure Earth Bicycles. So e-bikes, non-e-bikes, road bikes, gravel bikes, you know, you're looking at mountain bikes, you're looking at the three-wheel bikes, beach bikes, all the different e-bikes, ones for in-town, ones for off-road. He's got them. And the fun thing, too, is you get to take a test ride and see the right bike for you. So go online, if you're sitting at work and kind of goofing off right now, adventure-earth, not that you are, adventure-earth.com. You can check out the selection of bicycles. But the most fun, see them in person right there at the corner of Little Flower and Airport at Midtown. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get all of us outside any time of year. All right, and event coming up this weekend. And it has, well, I would say, one of the most unique names and one that brings up questions for me. From Dog River Clearwater Revival, their 2026 Mud Bottom event. Marbury Buchholz and Evelyn D'Angelo join me to talk more about it. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Sean.
Yeah, thank you.
Mud Bottom event. Now, what transpired to come up with this name?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, anytime we get together, any of us that were raised on the river or raising families now on the mm-hmm. river have visited, we all come up with stories that we have. And you know, actually, yes, it's a little muddy maybe. And so we used to call it suspended silt.
Yes, but, I like that.
But we were very, and people from out of town called us river rats, which it may have been disparaging, but we were very proud.
Listen, we were jealous. Growing up, the kids that lived on the river, we called y'all river because we were jealous. We wanted to go to y'all's house on the weekend.
Good for you. Very good. Some of our friends we'd bring from out of town or from in town, and they were not exactly keen on jumping off the wharf. But by the end of the day, they loved it. So
good.
So we would get together and tell those stories. And then a couple of years earlier, there was a song written, Mud Bottom, by a, he is from Mobile, and now he's in Nashville, a songwriter, Will Kimbrough, about his time visiting friends on Dog River. And so, I mean, he just captured it so perfectly. You know, old Dog River runs brown and slow down to the Gulf of Mexico. And the part I love, too, is, you know, reaching for the cold water down below. The mud gets squishy between your toes. But anyway, anytime we got together, we talked about it. And so we said, you know, we want to do something for Dog River. It's a wonderful place. We all love it. We love being river rats. So we approached an organization that was already very involved in preserving and conserving her. And we said, hey, what do you think about a music festival called Mud Bottom mm-hmm. on a piece of property, unfortunately, that a family had lost their house on, but it was wide open and it was a beautiful cove. We still have wonderful pictures of everybody being anchored out in that cove. And of course, Will Kimbrough came with Willie Sugarcaps. They were our first guests. And ever since then, it has just It's just exploded. We've
this 11th
year. The 11th year. And we never have any problem finding musicians. They're always happy to help us. And, committee members and volunteers and attendees. It's just been very successful. So,
okay, well, give me the pro tips here, Barbara, because you've been there for these years. So we're going somebody who's not been before. So it's a Bender Point?
It's Bender Point. It's okay. At the end of Riviera Duchesne Road. The address is online. But
yeah, we'll give you all just, that address here in a second.
Yes. Just bring your chairs, your coolers, your big hat, although it is very shaded. Mm-hmm. It's under live oak, so it's beautiful. And that's one of the main features. Too. It is on the river. So there's a point that's right at the mouth of Hall's Mill. Mm-hmm. So there's always a breeze there. It's always cool. And
But somebody hadn't come before. So I'm going to show up. I'm packing up the car. I mean, just bring the cooler and chairs. I'm just going to come kind of describe what it's like and park the truck and then like...
Parking is well managed. We have a great team that has gotten it down to a science. So, and we even have carts, golf carts, to help you haul your coolers and everything.
I like that. I need that more in my life elsewhere. Just to haul my cooler.
Right. You don't necessarily have to bring food. There are food trucks on premises that are very delicious. It's Frank and
Smoking Gringos this year. And Real Fruit Creamery to be offering a sweet treat for us.
Ooh, now, I have frequented one of those fruit trucks, but I've seen the other one, or my children had made me aware of it, the creamery one.
It's kind of new around town, and it's really neat. They actually are a great partner this year for us. They're very eco-friendly. Like, she runs her little trailer off a rechargeable battery, so you're not listening to a big generator out behind the, food truck. And she even offered, we could do a no-waste event where they only served on ice cream cones. But we're actually going to have some sustainable bowls and spoons and things like that because they do blended fresh fruit with all of their dairy ice cream, and it's just amazing.
I'm starting to twitch hearing about that.
So,
okay, we get there. Let's talk about, and then I want to talk about the lineup, but people hear this and kind of beforehand, tickets ahead of time, how do we do this?
Yeah, so we can go ahead, you grab tickets. We sell out pretty fast. And this year, we're actually able to add some extra tickets. So they are online at dogriver.org, and you're going to buy tickets. Right now, they're $45 a piece. Kids 13 and under are free. And you don't have to print them out or anything. We will take your name and put it on a will call. So when you get out of your car, you walk up, check in, and we will just check your name off. And first come, first serve on where you want to set up your folding chairs and pick your shady spot with your friends. So go ahead and grab your tickets today.
Because dogriver.org.
Yes, dogriver.org. There's a possibility of us selling out. I mean, it sells out every year, but we were really lucky to be able to manage parking and some of our other facilities better and add some more tickets because it's been sold out consistently.
Well, let's talk about what sells us out, and that's a great music. What's the lineup on this?
Absolutely. This year? So, yes, there is a history of amazing local music artists that have played. I mean, we were going through some projects and pulling out things and realized it was Red Clay Strays and some other
names. Those kids have done all right for themselves.
Yes, yeah. They've done great. Well. So we were looking back over the years, Will Kimbrough, and we had Marsha Ball one year and Jimmy Hall, and we just... lots of local artists. So this year, our new rising artist is Cam Lewis. He's a local singer-songwriter. He is a good old outdoors boy. He loves to hunt and fish and do all the things outside.
My
and
kind of people.
He's
he
likes brim with a spoon.
Oh,
he's good.
And he likes to write songs about it. He wants to. So he's a new singer-songwriter in the area. Just played Callahan's Friday night, so he's coming up. And then we're coming from Pensacola. We have the new Cahoots. They're a big five-piece, and they bring all the energy. And again, they can talk about the coast. They've lived it. They love it. They actually played at the Mobile County Earth Day last year.
Okay.
So this is right up their alley. And then our main show this year is Willie Watson. And if you don't recognize the name, you would know that Willie Watson was one of the founding members of Old Crow Medicine Show. And he was
strong.
He was one of wrote, some of those big songs that they went with, Rock Me Mama and things like that. And he stepped away from them for a while and worked on some solo stuff, kind of worked out some personal stuff. But he just did a big Australian tour, got back, and then he did six shows on the East Coast with Old Crow Medicine Show in a small reunion tour.
That's cool.
That's been interesting.
So he's coming to town.
He's coming to town. So he hasn't done anything here in Mobile in a long time, but he's also another big environmentalist, and he's very vocal about the environment in the platform that he has. And so we're really looking forward to showing him a good time on Dog River.
I want to get to this point, too, because we're talking about the show that's coming up on Sunday. Get your tickets before they sell out. The money goes to do what?
Right.
So what do we do?
Dog River Clearwater Revival is a 30-plus year organization who works really hard in our community for the Dog River watershed, not just right down on the banks of the river, but the whole watershed, and making sure that it's preserved with a focus on water quality. And one of our biggest projects we have is we have volunteers who work through the Alabama Water Watch under Dr. Mimi Fern, our water quality volunteer, and they monitor throughout the year. They test in our local area, and they post those through the Alabama Water Watch. And so you can get updated reports on what the water quality is, not just on the river, but upstream.
Right, in the tributaries.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and this, people don't realize how far the Dog River watershed goes. I mean, all the way up right to the fairgrounds.
Right here behind the studio.
Right,
and
so much of this area,
square miles.
Even east of I-65, Eslava, that whole area, Halls Mill Creek, it drains into Dog River, and it brings with it a lot of things. And so we've also worked hard in having water cleanup efforts. We partner with the city and with Osprey Initiative, and having the litter getters that are out there, and those traps that are catching all the floating litter and the debris. And you can see those, go over the bridge at Halls Mill and peep over and see that litter getter or the Osprey employees out there cleaning it out all the time. So we like to help support projects that are like that. We also work hard with education. We have a program for third graders in the community. Some of them is in their backyard and they don't know about it. We get our volunteers to go in and talk to them about the wildlife and the fauna and the manatees and just the beauty of being able to be on the river.
This one, think about this too, as we talk about environmental projects. This one is kind of an urban setting
for environment.
Even though it's you're in there and catching fish, watching wood ducks and all that stuff, and dog. We're still, we're in town.
Right.
I mean, this is not a far-flung, this is an urban area.
It really is. And so a lot of people don't always have that. And that's why our third component is access. Because a lot of people, I'm not originally from the area, but, if you talk to people that don't live on the river, some people are like, you can't get down there. There's nowhere to even get in the river because all those beautiful houses. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that Dog River Clearwater Revival has done is work to help ensure access. And so we have the Blue Trail, the waterway, where there's places to put in kayaks and places to put in, boats and have access. So you can bring your kids out fishing or boating on Dog River, no matter where you are in our community.
All of our events involve anyone that wants to come.
Correct.
There's nothing exclusive about it. You're going to be on the water with the events that we provide.
And we have a big one in the fall, and it's called Great Drift. And that's another great chance to come and experience Dog River for the first time with some guides. We put some guides out there to lead the 5 mile, the 3 mile, and the 1 mile. That 1 mile is there for somebody who maybe never done it before, not sure how far upriver they want to paddle today. And we've got, motorboats lined up along the route, and that way you get tired and you need to get hauled home or you need a medical emergency. We have them there. And so we try to give these opportunities to our community to get out there and experience it because...
Once you get somebody engaged in it, who loves it, then it's easier to recruit them to help protect it.
Right, to protect it. They have to know the why, and what it is. It's important. And they have to see the challenges that we're having too. And we talked a lot about litter, but, the growth and, making sure that construction sites and building sites aren't, releasing so much soil into the river.
Yeah, as of late, I'm thinking of one. Yeah, I mean, that's what if you look over, you're talking about 30 years of this, any kind of metric for success? Like successes with this to try to, I think you got growth going at the same time. It's not static, but successes for water quality?
Absolutely. Maybe not metric. Well, maybe just a metric of me noticing. But after having, you know, lived there all this time for years and years, I do notice that there is less litter washing up. One thing is it's a lot more evident when litter is in the river because it floats now.
Mm-hmm.
We used to find things on the bottom. But now, you know, there's so much more accountability. Like Evelyn said, just us monitoring things and saying, okay, I can see what's going in here. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's the big thing.
And that is the great part about us having volunteer citizens doing water quality monitoring. We're not depending on someone to tell us what's in our water. Our people are out there and they're trained through this Alabama Water Watch program to get this information. And people like Dr. Mimi Fern, we have 20 years worth of data on what
that's
water,
important, I think, to be able to look. What was it a decade ago? What was it 5 years ago? What was it 2 years ago? What is it today? Those kind of things.
And even though we do have that, we have record keeping and all that, it is a grassroots organization, so we don't have to go way up to come mm-hmm. way down, you know.
Yeah.
And as we always say, you don't have to live under the lover. It's just, it's people that are there because they care. And so we love it. We love the organization.
Well, it sounds like a fun way to support the, and once again, Sunday, coming up Sunday.
This Sunday, April 19th. The show is from 2 to 6, but doors open at 1 for our sponsors, at 1:30 for all of our general admission.
All right.
You can come by boat. We have
Which
shuttles.
Is cool. It is a cool way to show up.
Yeah, you can anchor out and a shuttle will come and put you on the wharf. And
I like it. And dogriver.org, where the tickets are.
Yes, dogriver.org. And we got a festival guide up there. I'll tell you what to bring, what all to expect, the show times, our lineup, all of that's on there.
All right, sounds like a great time. We'll see y'all out there. Evelyn and Marbury, thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
And tell your son I said hi.
I sure will.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
.156 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. And by the way, thanks for getting in Dog River. I was watching that video over at WKRG.com. Sport fishing boat sinking, Tuesday afternoon in Dog River. I wonder how far, it's like I can't tell. Look at the video. Is that like a Navco? Is it that far up? Where, any of y'all seen that? Where exactly was that? Just the sinking fast here, too. Big like a, offshore boat, sport fisher, yeah. Sinking. Said the witnesses say the vessel struck a log in 6 feet of water around 3 p.m., they said the boat began taking on water, sank quickly after impact about 2 miles. Okay, 2 miles south of Navco. Okay, there it is. So that's where it is. Boat owner had been making repairs, took the boat out for test run when collision occurred. That's why, it's like the second you wash your truck, it rains, right? I mean, you're making repairs, it's going to catch you on that. So the owner's determining how to raise the boat. Yeah, listen, that boat, that's the owner admitting, and they're going to get it out. There's nothing they can do about it right now. They were clean. The number of boats we cleared out of waterways around here. Remember that? The city took an initiative, and you think about Dog River. I mean, it's an urban waterway, and the derelict boats they got were something. All right, to the text line. Let me see how many we can get. See, I get a lot of these about the gamble verdict. I'm not even going to read through these and have to edit here. So we'll go to Brian here. Said now we're going to have a run on panic costumes. People running around in penis costumes everywhere, all willy-nilly. Yeah, I thought the protest yesterday, Brian, was going to be people dressed up. They were outside the courtroom when Renee Gamble was in there. I figured they'd show up in those costumes. I called it right, at least on the free speech issue. Now, once again, it's not, like I said back then, it's not what you want. I'm just saying where I thought it would fall legally. The other parts of it, I wasn't sure. Because you don't get, disorderly conduct and resisting arrest don't have to do with the costume you're in. So that was interesting that, and giving the false name, which is being a smart aleck, right? Saying she was Aunt Tifa. That part I wasn't sure about, but like you cannot like it, but it's still, I mean, it's defensible. And we'll see what they come back with the countershoot on that. Let's see here. Fire Dog. I have a DeWalt 16-inch chainsaw battery-powered. Let me tell you, it's one of the best investments I ever made. Listen to the battery-powered chainsaws. I still run regular gas ones, but they're pretty impressive. And yes, Milton, we do need to call out our friend Michael Newsom for rescuing the guys in the bay. That was great work. You know what? We'll try to talk about that on tomorrow's show. Join me then. Now, Paul Feinbaum taking over. Y'all have a great one.